Palm Sunday needs a donkey. So I've lost my visual aid. Anyone seen an ass in church this morning? You thank Andrew Taylor's father for that one, so I can't see Andrew here, but I was going to say maybe 7 out of 10. Let's pray. Help us, Lord, to understand your word this morning. As we begin this journey through Holy Week, may we come next week to see Jesus, the risen Lord. May we see him clearly. And I pray that as we look at the scriptures this morning, he might be revealed to us. I pray that in this in his name. Amen. Jean said to me before the service started, "Is that reading right? Are we actually reading from the book of Revelation?" Well, yes, we are, and I'm going to pick up on just a particular verse in the book of reading from Revelation. The verse that talks about the great crowd who were dressed in white robes and who were waving their palm branches, because it's the waving the palm branches, and I'm going to start with the palm branches. The links very appropriately to Palm Sunday, as we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. A procession. Processions were quite common if we look through the scriptures. We've got that procession of the children of Israel making a procession out of Egypt as they were freed from slavery. And rejoicing. As Ed's mentioned, we had the procession of David when he was anointed as king. We have the procession as David brings the ark into Jerusalem. Processions are common things. But it's this particular procession that we think about on Palm Sunday that triggers for me childhood memories. I grew up in Northamptonshire, and every year there was an annual carnival in the various towns where they lived, and each town seemed to try and outdo the other town in putting on their carnival, where the shoe factories would have lorries, and they would decorate the lorries, and they competed for the best dressed lorry. You know, there were bands that would march, the uniform organisations would parade. And then after all the processions, there would be gathering in the local park with amusements and demonstrations. And I found it a very wonderful time for a small boy. Because it also a time for family gatherings with grandparents, uncles and aunts, and more importantly, lots of food. And that's probably what sticks in my memory best of all, the food. But I imagine that Palm Sunday being a similar sort of celebration, a noisy time, a happy time. Well, in the Bible's story of Palm Sunday, we don't have any bands or carnival queens. But we have lots of pilgrims coming to Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations. And I think I'd perhaps make two distinctions between my experience of carnival and the Palm Sunday carnival. The carnivals of my boyhood, were well planned. They had the aim of raising money for charity. Whereas the Palm Sunday procession was somewhat spontaneous. And it was religious, political in purpose. As you probably guess, Palm Sunday gets its name from the waving of palm branches. But not only the riding, the waving of the palm branches, the riding on a donkey in itself is very significant. It symbolises the arrival of a king of peace. We have Jesus, the Messiah, entering Jerusalem, riding in through the east gate. The church has hosted an Easter journey this week. I'm told there's something like 200 children and adults have been on this Easter journey. Children from the local schools and the toddlers groups, Noah Ark, the uniform groups. They've all come and they've made a journey. And that journey began with the events of Palm Sunday. It continued with foot washing, the Lord's Supper, to the crucifixion, the resurrection, and finally to the disciples meeting the risen Jesus. Well, I got to be the start of the journey, the Palm Sunday bit. And as the children came in their groups, I explained about Jesus riding into Jerusalem, how the crowds threw their coats and the children got coats on the floor that they could throw in front of the donkey to make a red carpet, and how the crowd shouted, "Hosanna." And I challenged each of the groups of children to shout Hosanna louder than the previous ones. Well, we can make a noise in church. You know, we can shout Hosanna and praise God. But all these things, putting out the red carpet, shouting Hosanna at the tops of their voices, these were actions of that particular crowd that highlight that they recognised Jesus as someone important. They thought he was the king who was expected. He was the son of David. He was the king that they wanted to throw out the Romans. So they threw their coats. You may remember that, I don't know whether this is fact or fable, that Sir Walter Raleigh threw his cloak over a muddy patch so that Queen Elizabeth I didn't get her feet dirty. You know, it was a special action, special gesture, but one that showed that Raleigh held Queen Elizabeth I in high regard. Well, Raleigh probably had more than one cloak, so getting it a bit muddy didn't really matter, but I guess those crowds on that Palm Sunday probably didn't have more than one cloak. But they were prepared to throw that cloak in the path of Jesus and the donkey. And all I can hope is the donkey was well behaved. But perhaps there were some memories in the crowd that prompted their actions. Perhaps some of them remembered when Jehu was anointed as king. And we have this in 2 Kings chapter 9. And that chapter tells us that Elisha chose a messenger to secretly anoint Jehu as king of Israel. And the messenger took Jehu into a room and anointed him in secret. And as Jehu and the messenger come out of the room, the fellow officers quiz Jehu about what's going on. And Jehu responds to them, and it's 2 Kings 9 verse 12. He said, "Here is what the messenger told me. This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel." And hurriedly, they took off their clothes and spread them under him on the steps. And they blew the trumpet and shouted, "Jehu is king." So there is a precedent for what the crowds on that Palm Sunday were doing. The anointing was a sign of being elected to kingship. And by throwing their cloaks under Jehu's feet, the soldiers were making a statement of loyalty. So I suggest, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey, the crowd are making a statement of loyalty by throwing their cloaks. And the waving of palm branches was also a way of celebrating a king coming in and celebrating festivals in general. The waving of palm branches may again have been a thought that was triggered in people's memory by an earlier event some 200 years before this, when Judas Maccabeus, who'd conquered pagan armies, came into Jerusalem. And the crowds there waved palm branches. A lot of singing took place. And probably most of the pilgrims and the crowd would have known the words of the Psalms off by heart. Perhaps the words of Psalm 118 came to mind. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you." That psalm may have come to mind as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Incidentally, it's been suggested that Psalm 118 might have been the last song that Jesus and his disciples sang at the end of the Last Supper before they departed into the Garden of Gethsemane. As the crowd of pilgrims accompany Jesus into Jerusalem, they shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They're welcoming the one that they've been seeking for many years, the king after the line of David, the king who would save them from Roman oppression. But we know from history that wasn't the case. We know that Jesus had come to Jerusalem not to be crowned like David, not to be crowned like Judas Maccabeus, but to be killed. We know from history that in less than a week, this crowd who shouted, "Hosanna," this crowd who wanted to crown Jesus as king, would they crucify him. This fickle crowd wanted Jesus on their own terms, not on his terms. And that's perhaps a challenge for us today and a challenge for the world. Do we claim Jesus for who he rightly is? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Do we acclaim and proclaim Jesus as the Son of David, the Lamb of God, the Saviour of the world? Or do we claim him to suit our own fickle needs? Do we look to Jesus just when it suits us? When we want a crutch to support us? When things are not going well? Is that just when we turn to Jesus? Are we so fickle as to come here to church on a Sunday morning to proclaim Jesus as Lord and then to deny him for the rest of the week? This pilgrim crowd on the first Sunday stands in sharp contrast to the innumerable crowd, the innumerable gathering that we heard about in our reading in Revelation chapter 7. You have not forgotten that we had the reading from Revelation 7. This vast crowd dressed in long white robes. There are countless in number. People from every tribe and nation. John sees them in his vision. He sees this vast horde of people standing before the throne in heaven. He sees them focusing their attention on Jesus, the Lamb of God. And the angel tells John that these people are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And as John gives us this visual picture, he gives us a picture of the Christian's destination. Of standing before Jesus, standing before the Lamb of God, standing there as people who are totally pure in their white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, people who are ready to declare that their salvation comes from God alone, comes through his Son. And this vast crowd are not coy about declaring their faith. They cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the heavenly hosts agree. They fall down, saying, "Amen. Yes, we agree." This vast crowd is not a fickle crowd, but a faithful crowd. They've followed Jesus through thick and thin, in the good times and the bad times, and have now come to their eternal destination. They stand before the throne of God, purified by the blood of the Lamb. They stand there to worship Him and to continually serve Him. We begin our journey through Holy Week. We begin our journey, if you like, with the Palm Sunday activity. And what you'll find in your new sheets is some suggested readings that you might like to consider and think about and meditate upon through Holy Week as we journey with Jesus from Palm Sunday into Jerusalem, to the temple, to the upper room, to Golgotha, the next Sunday to the glorious resurrection that we celebrate on Easter Day. An opportunity to meet the risen King. If we allow it, it can be a journey that will challenge us to consider which crowd we really belong to. The fickle crowd who cries crucify, or the faithful crowd who stand before the throne of God, singing praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. We can focus on our eternal destination and our eternal activity as we worship the Lamb who was slain.